Let me pray before we start. Father, thank you for giving us your word. As we listen to it now, please give us soft hearts and open minds so that through what we hear, our lives may be changed to do good. Please help me to present your message clearly and truthfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. After 2 weeks on holiday, my kids went back to school earlier this week. And while it's been great fun having them around, by the end of the holidays, we were pretty happy to send them back to school. As typically happens when we spend time together, they invariably try to stretch the boundaries. And we end up in all sorts of fights with exchanges like, "Didn't you hear me? Are you listening to me?" "Yeah, I heard you." "Well, why don't you do what you've been told then?" "Why should I?" "Or I forgot." In heated exasperation, I yell out, "Grow up." They tell me they love me, to which I reply, "Well, if you did, then you'd do what I told you to, wouldn't you?" As their father, I'm obviously trying to teach them what's best for them, so that as they get older, they'll be well prepared for the challenges ahead in their lives, and to ensure that they'll live well within the rules our society sets for them. Living free, but within boundaries. If we reflect on what it's like to be a parent preparing children to stand on their own two feet, it gives us some useful insights into what it must be like for God, trying to get us to get the most out of our lives now, and to get us to obey his rules for our lives. It also gives us insights into our rebellious, self-centred nature and how hard it is to get us to change and to stay that way. Today we're going to be looking at growing up and maturing as Christians by looking at a short section from the book of James. But before we do so, I thought it might be worth spending a moment just considering who James was and his reason for writing this letter. While there's been some debate, it's pretty well accepted now that the book of James was written by Jesus' brother, James. Interestingly, for a man that became a prominent leader in the early Jerusalem Christian church, he did not appear to believe in Jesus throughout Jesus' life. However, he became totally committed after seeing Jesus when he had arisen from the grave. When we keep in mind that the writings of the New Testament are given to us by people that did personally witness the risen Jesus, we can appreciate the passion and truth behind what they have to say to us, making it all the more compelling. But I sometimes think we lose sight of that and so don't fully absorb the emotional, faithful nature behind what they are saying, and so we don't receive it as we should. But perhaps that's just me. James writes to the early Jewish Christian church, the 12 tribes scattered amongst the nations, as he says in verse 1. He writes to their pastor to instruct and encourage them in the face of the difficulties that they've been facing and the impacts these were having on their faith and how they live their lives. He particularly encourages them that the tests they are facing are part of the process of maturing in their faith so they could get the full benefit of their faith and lead lives pleasing to God. He teaches on a range of matters, but today we're going to focus just on verse 122, where he teaches on two particularly important aspects of our faith that we must not treat as being mutually exclusive of each other: hearing and doing, or having ears with legs, as I've called tonight's sermon. Let's have a look at what God has to teach us through James. If you want to follow in the Bible, it's on page 1196, but there'll be passages up on the screen as well. Okay, well, in verse 22, James simply says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." I like his direct approach, a very clear, simple statement, but he also emphasises further why we need to do this through verses 23 to 25. We'll consider all of this by looking at the following five questions which verse 22 raises, which are: to what is it that we should listen as faithful Christians? How should we listen? When should we listen? How should we respond to what we hear? And what are the consequences of us obeying or disobeying? Okay, then, to what is it that we should be listening as faithful Christians to guide our lives? James rightly expects there's only one answer to this question, and therefore he only writes of us listening to the word in verse 22, and he goes on in verse 25 to call that the perfect law that gives freedom. Just as we expect new residents to Australia to come and live according to our country's laws and moral codes, God requires us as members of his church to live according to his rules and his guidance, which for us are given to us through the Bible. As Paul writes in his second letter to Timothy, the scriptures are God-breathed for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training to equip us for every good work. They tell us about the nature of God and man and God's plans from creation to eternity. It tells us the do's and the don'ts for our lives in faith. The reference to the law that gives freedom would have had significant meaning to his audience, who had grown up Jewish but were now Christian. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:17 that he came as fulfilment of the Old Testament law, not to abolish it. He teaches that through fulfilling the law by living, dying and rising to life again, he sets us free from our sins. As Paul writes in his letter to the Galatians, now that our faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Under the Old Testament, we were convicted and sentenced to death in our sin, whereas through Jesus the punishment is paid and we are set free, provided we have faith. So it's clearly to God's word that we should listen, but too often we look to other places for our guidance, to our own opinions, to the world's, or to the devil's. In the past year or so, we had lots of people, even people claiming to be Christians, who looked at the Da Vinci Code novel for their faith guidance. But such things are just fiction for entertainment purposes. They are not the truth, but people risk letting them deceive them. The Bible gives us a perfect image of what we should be like compared to what we are, so that we are clear and certain about what we need to change or to do to become more pleasing to God, which is the appropriate response for our faith. To look anywhere else is useless. Elsewhere we can get distorted, misleading or foggy images, like looking in one of those mirrors that you might have seen at Luna Park or a fair, where you can be stretched taller or thinner or fatter or wider, or looking into the mirror after a shower when it's all fogged up. But even if those images were clear, they are not God's images and so irrelevant to us. God's word is an amazing mirror reflecting what's on the inside of us, not just our physical exterior. Our looking elsewhere for wisdom reflects how much we struggle in our immaturity to be obedient. But ignorance is not bliss. How then should we listen to the word? In verse 22 and 25, James tells us, look intently at the word, not merely. When we look at something intently, we are focused, trying to get something out of the process. As Christians, we're trying to gain wisdom in our faith so that we can lead lives more pleasing to God and to strengthen our faith so that we can better deal with the world's daily challenges. To look merely lacks any real purpose. As James suggests, when we look merely, we fail to gain any real lasting benefit. It's perhaps habit only, providing no real response. But if we look intently, all sorts of things might be observed. For instance, in our physical lives, if we make a habit of looking intently at our faces each day in the mirror, we might detect some sort of skin condition that needs attention. If we were to look merely, we might never notice something that could become quite life-threatening. And so it is with our faith lives. We have to look intently. To appreciate what it is to listen intently, it's worth considering James' words in verse 1:19. He tells us to be quick to listen and slow to speak. To be a good listener, we need to learn to keep quiet and pay attention to the speaker. We need to focus the speaker, not us. Perhaps you can remember a conversation with someone at some time where they wouldn't let you get a word in any way, despite you thinking you had something pretty important to say. You go away from that meeting thinking that they were at least rude or unfriendly, but they go away thinking that you were really tops, you were great, you paid attention to them. Especially if at times you responded by showing that you really were taking in what they said. But perhaps too you can remember an occasion, maybe at a party, where people just listened to you all night, and so you appreciate how good that can feel. Too often in our relationship with God, we're so caught up in our world that we do not listen to him. But rather we should humble ourselves before God, making our world smaller and focusing on letting him speak to us. If we just keep talking over him, we do not show our respect or love, and we fail to hear his guidance. Listening intently is a great way of showing a kind of serving love to one another. By doing so, we show that the other person is more important than us. As John put it in John 3:30, in our relationship with Jesus, He must become greater. I must become less. You can think of yourselves as circles. It's a good reminder. Listen intently to the word. So when should we listen to the word? Well, James tells us in verse 25 that we need to continue to look intently into God's word. Friends, living in Christ is a continuous process. We are not in faith if we think we can be in it one day, out the next, and so on as we please. Growing in a mature faith is like any change process. It needs to be kept going. If we do not, we risk stagnating or relapsing to our former selves. And sustained change takes effort. Think how many New Year's resolutions fall quickly away, or weight loss is regained after a crash diet. We often need help along the way, and so we meet with others to study the Bible and to encourage each other in our Christian lives. And how should we respond to God's word? Well, James says in verse 22, do what the word says. We're not just to hear it and then walk away like a person looking into a mirror, taking no real notice of what he is seeing. We must not forget what it says. Reading and studying the Bible is all very well, but our truly faithful response is to do what it says. Jesus specifically called on us to obey his commands. And as a role model and a teacher, he is our perfect image. He not only spoke the word, but he lived it, no matter how challenging. Friends, if we are looking intently into the Bible and do not feel compelled to change by doing what it says, we should ask ourselves whether we really have faith. Too many people mark their Bibles with highlighters or pencil underlining as they read it, but their lives do not mark them as Christians. As those in faith, we need to do what the Word commands of us and let our lives be shining examples to others. None of this is saying that you're saved by works rather than coming to faith, but rather an important and natural consequence of having come to faith is to try to live according to God's commands. And so what does it mean to do what the word says? Well, in very simple terms, Paul tells us through his letter to the Ephesians to be imitators of God, living lives of sacrificial love, like Jesus did. In doing this, he tells us we need to change from our old sinful selves to become more like God. And similarly, Jesus tells us to stop sinning. In probably one of the most well-known passages of the Bible, Matthew 22:37-40, he tells us, To love God with all we've got, and to love our neighbours as ourselves. This encapsulates all of his teaching. In his letter, James talks about us needing to avoid getting angry, quarrelling or fighting, and to watch what we say, amongst a whole lot of other things, but to gain a deeper understanding of what it's like to be God, what we should do and what we should not, and to gain the full encouragement of the Bible, we need to read it intently. We're not going to do that too much further now because we'll be here a very long time if we do. And what are the consequences of doing what James tells us or not doing them? If we do not do what he tells us, we risk deceiving ourselves. Deceiving is a particularly strong word. It tells us we can be led into error or even danger through misrepresentation of the truth. God, through James, wants us to be strong in our faith, getting the full measure of its joy. If we are weak in our faith, we risk being tossed around by the daily challenges that we face. In verse 1:6, James compares it to being tossed around like a wave in the wind. And similarly, Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, likens it to being an infant tossed in the sea. It's an immense struggle in which we risk drowning if we're not strong. In the Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus explains who is blessed and how. It's referred to as the Beatitudes. I'm not going to go into that now either, but I encourage you to read it later for yourselves. All in faith are blessed, but our joy in our faith grows as our faith becomes a more dominant part of our lives. Let me share with you for a moment some recent experience in my life that might show how our joy in our faith increases as our faith grows. Many of you may know that over the past year or so, I've been made redundant from work twice as a result of business takeovers. That might be some sort of record, I'm not sure. That's unfortunately business life these days. That was quite a challenging time, and I'm disappointed to be able to say that in the early stages of my dealing with it, my faith response was not the best. I worried and became anxious about as I contemplated what might happen. But through the following year, I've been spending a lot more time studying the Bible, talking with friends and family about it, and I've come to rely much more heavily on God, such that a passage on the wall over there from Philippians 4 has become a great comfort to me. It says, "Don't be anxious about anything." And through this growth, I've gained his peace, which transcends my understanding by miles. Earlier this year, I took on another role, a short contract role, which was also extremely challenging. But this time, I approached my daily work in a different way to ever before. I made it a matter of practice before I drove off to work each day to just hop in the car in the garage and sit and pray to God for his guidance to help me deal with all the matters that would come before me each day. A couple of times, I wasn't too good and I started driving down the road and then realised I hadn't stopped to pray, so I pulled over and prayed. And you know what? The only really bad days that I can remember in that whole contract period was when I didn't pray. Did all things go well? Well, not at all. There were some quite trying days, but I never felt overwhelmed by it all. I knew God was equipping me to do what was before me and not to worry about the things I could not control. None of that was going to kill me. But unfortunately, behaviours change quickly. Now that role's finished and I've not been getting into the car every day, my prayer life's receded again. To maintain change requires ongoing effort. Just thanks to preparing this talk, I've had a much-needed kick in the pants. Is everything in my life the way I would have it? Well, no, not if it was just according to my plans. But everything's good when I know it's in Christ. My life is so much more enjoyable now, and I feel so greatly blessed. And I want to encourage you to share in the increasing joy that growing in Christ brings to the faithful. So to sum up, what's James reminded us? Well, we need to have ears with legs. For those who have come to faith, our obedient response needs to be to continue to listen intently to the word and not forget what it says. And we must do what it says, sacrificially loving God and all others. As I said earlier, these are two necessary responses. They are not mutually exclusive. Before we can act, we need to hear, but we need to do both, not just hear and not just try to act. Through doing this, we can live freely and joyfully as we grow in maturity of our faith and bring glory and honour to God. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for choosing to give us a new life through your word. Help us to grow up strong in our faith so that we may be blessed through persevering under the trials that we have to deal with every day. Please help us to grow in our faith so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Help us to listen intently and continuously to your word, not forgetting what it says, so that we will not be deceived, but so that we will be brought to do what it says, and through this to be richly blessed through gaining the full measure of the joy that being in faith with you brings, helping others to know you and come to know you, and above all, bring honour and glory to you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.